Praise the Lord, everyone. Can we stand all across this house? Has the Lord been good to anybody else? Amen. I've come to worship today. I wonder if you'd join me. Let's lift our hands. Jesus, we worship you today. Lord, I honor you and I give you all my worship and all my adoration, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would have your way in this house, Lord. We surrender it all to you, God. We set aside every distraction. Lord, we set aside everything, Lord, that would tear our attention away from you, Jesus. Lord, I've come to see a mighty move of your spirit in this house, Lord. God, I've come to magnify you today, Jesus. Lord, I've come to glorify you today, Jesus. Come on, has anybody in this house come to glorify the Lord today? Jesus, we honor you, Lord. We give you praise. Worship with us as we sing.
Desperate for revelation, we want to see your will be done. Give us a glimpse of glory, a new and a fresh outpouring. We want to see revival come. Our hearts are open wide, Lord, fill us with your fire. Rushing wind, sweep over this church again and prove you are all you say you are. Come move, change the atmosphere till all of heaven meets us here and do what you want to do. Break every chain and shackle, make every lie unravel. We lift too high as walls fall down.
Our hearts
are open wide. Lord, fill us with your fire. Come move like a rushing wind. Sweep over this church again and prove you are all you say you are. You wanna do? Do what you wanna do. you want to do.
Jesus, I have victory. Oh, yeah.
I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus,
I will bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Brother Paul Frazee's still sick. Sister Sherry Simpson, remember her in prayer. She's sick, dealing with some illnesses. And Sister Brightup going through this transition and going into long-term care. So keep these needs in prayer. If you have any other requests, you can signify them by the lifting of your hands. If you're ill in your body or want prayer, you can come to the front. The elders of the church will anoint you, as the Word of God says that we will do. And pray for you, and we will believe with you that the Lord will meet your need. Amen. Amen? Because why are we going to pray if we don't believe that he's going to do it? We were talking about this morning Connect class and how prayers that were prayed years and years and years ago never die. I mean, you're standing in a church today that is birthed on the backs of prayers from years and years and years ago. Pastor was talking about the other day about the elders. There's something to it. It wasn't just that they were faithful to the house of God. It wasn't just that they came no matter what the situation was. It wasn't just that they came if there was 1 inch of snow or 6 inches of snow or if it was raining or if they were sick, but it was their daily lives of prayer. Their prayer lives, day in and day out, their consistency with their relationship with God. All those other things are just extra. All those other things are just signs of their faithfulness in their relationship with God. When you're faithful in your relationship with God, all those other things will come with it, right? We believe in prayer around here, and we've seen it. We've seen things. You're going to hear about it in the next song. We've seen prayer work. So we're going to go before the Lord in prayer. Again, if you have any need, if you have anything you need prayer for, come forward, we'll pray for you. God, we thank you this day. We thank you for an opportunity to come together, God, in corporate prayer with one another. God, I pray, God, that you meet the needs of all the people that are here, that you touch every heart, every mind, every soul, every body, every spirit. God, I pray, God, that you touch Sister Simpson in her body right now. Pray, God, that you allow healing virtue to flow, God, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God. You know what's wrong, God. Touch Brother Paul Frazee, Jesus. Pray, God, that you'd be with him right now in his home, God, that you'd heal his body, God, that you'd take away these ailments, Lord God. Now, we may not know what it is and what's going on, but you know all things, God. You do all things well. I pray, God, that you touch Sister Bright up right now, God. Give her peace of mind, God. Touch her, Lord God. Help her in Jesus' name, God, to be comforted, Lord Jesus. In your spirit, Lord God. God, she's been a faithful servant, Lord God. I pray, God, that you'd be faithful to her, Lord God, and help her in Jesus' name in this time of need. Bless her right now, Jesus. God, touch all these folks, Lord God, that have come for prayer. I pray, God, that you'd meet their needs in their lives, no matter what they are, Jesus. You touch them in body, touch them in spirit, Lord God. I pray, God, that you touch the finances of the people in your church, Lord Jesus. Help us in Jesus' name, God. Careful to praise you and give you glory and honor, God. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We give you glory. We give you honor, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. You stretch forth your hand to the people up front here. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, what you're going to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you believe that the Lord is going to answer your prayer, give him a hand clap of praise. Just a few quick announcements as the ushers get themselves positioned. There is a Fusion parent meeting immediately after church. As soon as altar call is over, there will be a meeting. I believe it's in the fellowship or in the dining hall. Is that correct? It'll be in the dining hall downstairs. If you have a child in the youth group of all ages, be downstairs. It's good to go over this year's schedule, planning, finances, I believe. So if you have a child in the youth group, or you're just a nosy adult that wants to know what's going on in our youth group, you're more than welcome to join too. Downstairs, immediately following church, be there. And you'll get all the information for the rest of the year. There may have been some confusion. Well, granted, we have been having some pretty good prayer meetings around here, and I thank God for it, talking about prayer. But I'm going to go over this real quick just to give some clarity. Prayer, as far as the schedule goes, as far as the church corporate prayer, it is the first Wednesday of every month from 6 to 6:45. That is previous to the all-church Wednesday night. Instead of being downstairs, all the church will be in this sanctuary together. Even through the iGrow series, we're still going to maintain that. We're not going to switch that up. So the first Wednesday of every month there will be all church together in the sanctuary. For 45 minutes prior to that, from 6 to 6:45, there's prayer, corporate all church prayer. You'll notice there'll be some things on the screen to pray about, some bullet points. And then at 6:45, you'll see a 15-minute timer. Now, that could be used as fellowship. That could be used as time to go to the bathroom, get a drink, get a mint, whatever. Be mindful if there's still people praying. That's not a hard cutoff. We're not saying stop praying at 6:45. That's just the time frame that we're allotted for prayer, 6 to 6:45. If there's still people praying, being in the altar, or just even roaming, walking, pacing, be mindful of the people praying. And just as we do after Sunday morning services, we ask you to take your fellowship out to the foyer. If there's still people praying, do so. If nobody's praying, well, then by all means, that 15 minutes can be used for fellowship or anything before the all-church service together here in the sanctuary. The second prayer of the month is every third Tuesday of the month for 1 hour. So if you can't pray for 45 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray for 1 hour on the third Tuesday of the month. Okay, so the first Wednesday, put in your calendars. You guys have permission to get your phones out during church, write it down, take a picture, whatever you got to do. And the first Wednesday and the third Tuesday, okay? So everybody that's here, and we do not have, it's at 6 o'clock. Yes, so 6 o'clock on first Wednesday, 6 o'clock on third Tuesday, okay? And we do not have any hearing impaired people anymore. Sister Sandra is here, willing to sign if we did, but since we don't, you've heard me. So I expect to see all of your beautiful faces at prayer on the first Wednesday and the third Tuesday, because we'll be here. And unless you're at work or you have a really good excuse, we just got done talking about how things are birthed on prayer, right? I mean, how can you expect to see a 1,000-soul revival if we're not praying about it? How can you expect to see your lost loved ones won if we're not praying about it? Well, I pray at home. That's great, and I'm glad you do, and I hope you do. And I hope you do more than twice a month. But we're asking you to come to corporate prayer twice a month. I'll stop. I'm meddling. God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to give back to you. God, I pray, God, that you take this offering, that you'd bless it, that you'd multiply it, and that you'd put it towards its intended purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. After you give, let's enter into another time of worship. Does anybody have faith that God is able to do anything that we ask? Jesus, we worship you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've lived stories that have proved faithless. And I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. There is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you.
The wonder working God, all the miracles. Oh Jesus, I thank you where you brought me from. Lord, I thank you for what you did for me, Jesus. 'Cause I've seen cancer dis, I've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it.
I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't
do it. Don't you tell me.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finding free. Don't you tell me he can't do it.
Sing,
don't
I've
you
seen
tell
cancer
me he
disappearing.
I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me
sing,
he
I've seen families reunited.
I've seen families reunited.
I've seen prodigals return.
I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me.
Come on, somebody declare this over our city right now.
I see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me.
We're gonna see glory fill the nations.
We're gonna see glory fill the nations. Like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it.
We'll see cities
don't
in revival.
Don't you tell me he can't do it.
We'll see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets.
Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God. And you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, you're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see. Too good to not believe.
To not believe.
Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen. Too good to not believe.
I wonder if there's enough faith in this room today. I wonder if there's enough faith in this room. We heard of the sickness that's going around. And we know of the needs that are needed in this place. But I wonder if we could put what we sing to action. For those who aren't able to do it for themselves, I wonder if there's a church that is willing to go to spiritual battle. For those who are sick and can't cry out. For those who are hurting and brokenhearted. And need the Lord. So right now, I wonder if we could sing this again. But I wonder if there is a church that can rise up and raise a voice of faith and say, God, I believe that you can do it. Lord, they may not be in this building, but God, I believe that you're able to heal. I believe that you're able to meet them where they are at. I believe that you are able to deliver. I believe that you are able to save. And God, my mind may not be able to comprehend it, but Lord, I know that you are greater than my thoughts. God, I know that your capabilities are greater than what even I can understand. So we're going to sing this again, but I wonder if we could lift our hands and we could begin to go to battle. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen broken bodies heal. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally free. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see cities in revival and salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles I see, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe.
Would you raise your hands and let's love the Lord together. Oh, with all the witness of God's greatness around us, there's no reason that we cannot believe him for anything this morning. Come on, just for a minute, why don't you put your greatest need up to heaven right now? Put it on the tip of your tongue. Offer it up as a prayer. There's just nothing you can't do, Lord. You can touch my children. You can help my marriage and my home and my family. You can heal my body, Jesus. There's nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah, I believe you for it. Come on, let him know. I believe you for it today, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Come on, let's worship him. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Let rejoicing take over your emotions right now. Come on, sometimes rejoicing is an act of faith. Come on, let rejoicing come over you. Woo, I rejoice because of what you've done. But Lord, right now, I want to rejoice because what I believe you're going to do. I want to rejoice because of what I believe you're going to do. I'm going to do it ahead of time. I'm going to do it ahead of time. Come on, touch your neighbor right next to you. Somewhere just tap him on the shoulder and say, God's going to do it ahead of time. I can rejoice now because he's working now. Amen. God bless you as you return to your seats. What a fantastic worship time here in the house of the Lord. Man, it's so good to see you. The Lord bless you. You can be seated today. Man, so good to see everybody here on this, well, I'd say the first Sunday of the new year, but I guess it's the second. It feels like the first. We get out of holidays, and how many of you are at least slightly glad to return somewhat back to normal? Anybody? You're not a hater. You're just glad you're back to normal. Amen. So good to see you here today. There's a couple things I want to share with you. First of all, coming up this Wednesday night is a really neat time for APC. We're going to start our iGrow semester. And what that is it is about 12 weeks of very, very practical classes. We take our midweek teaching time from 7 to 8, and we have a list of classes that are, I'm not going to say that we don't go into the Bible. We pull it all out of biblical concepts, but it's practical living topics. And I think many over the years have found them very, very useful. You know, things like how to share your faith with other people, how to deal with difficult topics in the workplace. Even some, there's some weeks where we're focusing on some of the ministries that go on here, doing some training and things like that. So it's very practical, and the church usually enjoys it immensely. Now this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, here's how we lure you in. We're providing a dinner. Amen. Somebody say amen. Man, a dinner at 6 o'clock downstairs in the dining hall, lower level. And here's where we need your help. It's really going to help our hosting staff if you can let us know that you're going to be here. That way, you've got something to eat. It'd be kind of bad if I said, hey, we got a dinner for you, and you show up, and there's not enough for you. And we want everybody, amen, to come and join together. So I think on the screen they're going to put up right now, and this is, now please be understand, this is not registration for iGrow. We're going to do that Wednesday night. This is a very simple form. Take out your phones right now. Take it out. Scan that code. If for whatever reason you don't have time, you're Mark Shukri and you can't get your phone out and do that quick, that's all right. You can go to the welcome desk after church. That code will be there. But if you want to right now, and all that is an RSVP, and it's got two simple bits of information. Number one, I'm coming. Number two, this is how many I'm bringing with me. Number one, I'm coming. Number two, this is how many I'm bringing with me. And that way we can prepare for you on Wednesday night. Now, Wednesday night, we'll have dinner. I'm going to spend a little bit of time giving you some background about why we're doing what we're doing. And then the rest of the evening, we're hoping that you'll stay right there and that you'll register for all 12 weeks worth of classes. Every week, you'll have three choices. And we believe that we put together an itinerary of topics that just about anyone can choose something that they'll enjoy. In fact, usually the feedback we get is, there's too many choices. I want to go to all three of them. Well, I don't know what to do about that. We've tried to make sure we limit it to three, so at least that pulls that problem into perspective. But I believe there's something for everybody at iGrow. Everybody say iGrow. Would you help me promote this right now? Turn at least three people and tell them, I'm going to iGrow, and I know you're going to go too. Come on, tell them. Thank you. I appreciate that. It has been so good over the holidays to have all of our college students back. And I'm going to get in trouble if I name them, but I know there's Lily. I know there's Angela. I got to make sure I say Angela because I forgot her name once. And Sharon and Sherwin. There's probably others. If I forgot you, Pastor loves you from the bottom of my heart. But we've been honored to have our college students going back. Amen. And we want to pray over them and ask God to tell. Would you just do that right now? Can we just pray over them? Father, we thank you, Lord, for all of our students. And God, they're going to different parts of the nation. And God, they're going back to their studies. We pray for great success for them. We pray that you would bless them in their studies, God. And let most of all, God, let them be a light for you wherever they are. Let them work for you wherever they are. And we thank you, Lord, for keeping them and allowing them to be part of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. We love our college students. All right. I don't know if you saw the reel or not, but we're about to start a new series. I'm very, very excited about it. I've been trying to plan this and felt this, I don't know, it's a while back. And we're gonna be talking over the next few weeks about habits. Very timely, because a lot of what we focus on this time of year is centered around the idea of habits. So let me start today by just giving a very brief definition, very simple. According to our class this morning, it's very important that you keep it simple. If you weren't in the adult class, you don't know what that means. You got to keep it simple. So here is a simple definition. Habits are mental shortcuts based on experience. Habits are mental shortcuts based on experience. A habit is just a behavior that's been repeated so many times, you don't have to think about it anymore. You just do it. It's kind of just automatic. Now, that can be very useful. That can be wonderful. In fact, it's a little thing your body does, your brain does, to make bandwidth to do other probably more important things. When your brain works on this concept of developing habits, God kind of made us that way. And it can be really, really helpful. But here's the problem that can arise out of habits. Your outcomes and your results are a measure, or at least a lagging measure, of your habits. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Here's what I mean. Your net worth is a lagging measure of your financial habits. Your weight, don't crucify the messenger, your weight is a lagging measure of your eating and or exercise habits. Your knowledge is a lagging measure of your learning habits. The clutter in your house, don't point at anybody, the clutter in your house is a lagging measure of possibly your cleaning or maybe even your organizational habits. Here's what I'm trying to say. You get what you repeat, and habits are things that you repeat. Now, I realize a lot of times we focus on, we call them a lot of things, resolutions, really what they are, they're goals. This time of year, anybody got any goals? Has anybody already in the first 7 days written down some goals for 2024? Don't be ashamed. It's not a trick. Raise your hand. If you're right, you got goals, right? Now, listen to me today. I'm not going to get on you for goals. Goals are good. Everybody say goals are good. Everybody say goals are good. But here's the fact. Goals are really not where you live. Goals are concepts. They're in electronic files on our phones and on our computers and in the cloud somewhere. They're on little scraps and pieces of paper that you've got taped around different places in your house or in your car. Your goals are in journal pages, or they're physical things, and they're principles or concepts. But what I want us to understand in the next few weeks is that our life is not wrapped up in our goals, and our life does not happen in our goals, that our life happens in our habits. That's where you really live, in your habits. That's where I really live. I can write all kinds of things. In fact, I do. You'd laugh at my journal. I love the idea of writing. You know, people say, I journal every day. I love that idea, and I get on a little bit of a binge, and I'll write for 3 or 4 days, and then I'll miss like 27, and then I'll write for 3 or 4 more. I've got so many ideas. You would not believe the ideas that I have in my mind. I got so many concepts. I'm like, oh, that's good. I got to write that down. And then you know what happens? I never look at it again. Ever again. Come on, I'm so glad there's more people like me. I never look at it again. I there's even times where I'm reviewing, I'm like, I forgot I even thought that. Wow, that was really good. I wish I could remember that I thought what I remember. Man. You want to know why I did that? Because it's a goal. And nowhere did that goal become a habit. And habits are powerful. Habits are a two-edged sword, though. There's good habits and there's bad habits. And there's even, I'd say, the third-edged sword, if that's possible. There's annoying habits. Well, something just came over somebody right now. Amen. Now, there are bad ones can be worse than bad. The bad ones are worse when they're annoying. I remember one time, and this was years and years and years and years ago. There was this person. I'll just say this person. I remember I'd just taken over the church, and there was this habit. I mean, I'd be preaching, and in the middle of preaching, I would hear clip, clip, clip. Clip. I mean, you get down to one of them sensitive moments where you were just trying to really appeal and talk to people and say, come on, I'm telling you, Jesus loves you more than anything in the world. Clip. Clip. Now, if you've got fingernails out right now, put them away right now. Put them away. Put them away in Jesus' name. Anybody, if I sit here and let you talk to me a little bit, you'd tell me of all the annoying habits, and Lord, there are many of them. But here's the thing you need to know, whether the habits are good, whether they're bad or they're ugly. It's a decision that you've made or a decision that you are making over and over and over again. Now, here's the problem. As a general rule, tell me if I'm wrong, we're not too great at making decisions, at least consistently. And I'll prove it to you. We eat too much. We buy things we can't afford. We say things we regret. We do things we really, in our hearts, we really don't want to do them, but we do them anyway. We tend to hurt the people that we love the most. Why? Why? Because we ignore the red flags and the logic in Jesus, that logic in Jesus are trying to show us. And what we don't realize is that the decisions that we made, however small or however large, our perception seems to put a label on them. No matter what our perception of them is, our decisions are rarely isolated. Hardly ever do you make a decision, listen to me, that is just all standalone by itself. It only affects what you're deciding. 9 times out of 10, and maybe 9.9 times out of 10, our decisions affect more than what we're deciding about. Our lives move in the direction of our decisions. And so if that is true, and I believe it is, here's my question for all of us today. Do you like the direction that your decisions are taking you? What about you? What about the way that your life is moving right now? Do you like? Here's what I think. I think at least in some way, in some context, there's not a person under the sound of my voice that hasn't got something in their life that says, I don't like the way that's moving. I don't like where that's going. I just had somebody share with me the other day, just actually yesterday, and said, Pastor, I just want to let you know I want to be accountable. I don't like the way certain things in my life are moving. I don't like certain ways that certain decisions that are being made and priorities that are being set. We all have those decisions that we wish were moving in a different direction. Do you like the house that your habits have built for you to live in? Because here's what I'm going to try to preach to you over the next few weeks. And it'll be in different forms and different ways. But here's really the theme of it all. Our habits become good ones when our habits honor God. Our habits become good ones when they honor God. And I want to talk to you today about good habits. And I want to talk to you how God wants to change everything. You know, Brother Wilhelm said last week, he said, in order for good stuff to happen, sometimes bad stuff's got to die. I want to talk to you about how God does that. I want to talk to you about what has to happen in us for God to change these habits. Because, listen, we can set all the goals we want to, but I'm here to preach to you for the next 3 or 4 weeks that God, yes, he wants to change your goals, but those are outliers. Those are results. That's fruit. What God's really interested in is getting to you on the atomic level, the grassroots, and saying, I want to change your habits because your goals are resonant and they are fruit of your habits. And so today, I want to direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Here's what God says. Here's what the prophet Isaiah says to God's people. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, he said, can you not see it? Can you open your eyes and see? He said, I will even make a road in the wilderness. I'm going to do a new thing. Even in a hard place, even in a rut, even in a dry place, God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm praying by the end of this message today that there's not a person here that doesn't believe that no matter how rigid that habit is, that no matter how rigid those life circumstances are, that you are in the presence of a holy God that has more than enough ability to pull you out of any rut and out of any dry place, that he can work in a wilderness and he can make a dry riverbed become a raging sea when it even comes, listen to me, to your habits. That you believe more than a concept, that you be able to believe it so much that you start looking for ways to invoke that idea into what you do every single day. Because truth of the matter is this, for most of us, the reason why we want something to change is because there's too much chaos. There's too much chaos. Things are undone. Things are unspent. Their resources are left aside or they're overused. It's just we haven't found the sweet spot in one or more or many or all of the areas of our life. And if we're honest with ourselves, which I hope we all are, I hope we all understand that it's disobedience that brings disorder into our lives. That it's not, oh, life has been tough on me, or, oh, that person or that thing. The truth of the matter is, oh, no, okay, some of you are just like sitting there stoically. All right, you're better than me, all right? You're better than me, but let me just tell you about me. The chaos in my life, the disorder in my life mostly comes when I disobey, and I do what I know I shouldn't do. My blood sugar goes up when I eat candy. I know it makes it go up, but I eat it anyway. Disobedience brings disorder. And see, this is what's great, though. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. The good thing is for you and for me that's so bent on being disorderly, that we serve a God that is a God of order. He is not, the Bible tells us, he's not a God of confusion. He doesn't just walk in and tear things up. He walks in and puts things together. He doesn't just walk in and scatter everything. He walks in and he brings everything together. And in this message that Isaiah gives to Israel and to us today, God gives us hope. And he tells us, I can do new things. In fact, listen to this. He says, I'm already working. Can you see it? Can you see it? Let me say that to you. I know it's a verse up there on a screen, but let me say it to you. Do you understand that God desires to do a new thing in you? Can you open your eyes today in this service and see that that habit doesn't have to control you anymore, that those decisions don't have to direct you anymore? Can you realize with faith today that God has brought you here and you're listening to this because he's got a voice screaming into your ear. I want to do a new thing. I know how hard it looks, but I can make a river in a desert. I know how long it's been going on, but it does not matter. I know you've got decades that way, but God's not afraid of decades. He's not afraid of centuries. I'm telling you, God wants to do a new thing. Somebody say new thing. New things are possible when you can see a few things for yourself. I believe God wants to help us be able to see this and embrace it today. The first thing is this. Here's what we got to understand. We got to realize that small stuff makes up the big stuff. Small stuff makes up the big stuff. Zechariah 4 tells us, do not despise these small beginnings. Another translation said, don't count out the days of small things. Don't just shove them aside. He said, because the Bible says, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He rejoices in the small things. God knows that the small steps are the things that add up to the big breakthroughs. If I asked you and said, what do you need? I just need God to break through. I need this stronghold to come down. I need this thing to be changed. Can I tell you that God will bring you a breakthrough? He will tear down a stronghold. But it's been my experience that that doesn't happen in one service or two services. That happens in a day-by-day process many times. It happens by us devoting ourselves and our lives and and our minds and our actions and our behaviors, and through one godly habit after another, when we honor God with our habits, the breakthroughs we need are built step by step. And typically you turn around one day and realize, look what the Lord has done. I'm just asking you, can you see him in the small things? Can you see him when he works and he changes an idea in your mind and he changes a behavior that's daily, and he changes something that seems so small? Listen, don't you count that out. Don't you set that aside. Well, that wasn't a big deal. I prayed one time. The Lord rejoices because you prayed one time, and he's excited and eager for the next time that you seek him, because big things come from small things. Every little step you take, God rejoices. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you probably got a couple friends who are like, that wasn't much. But you got a real friend that says, that was awesome. Every little step, we overestimate what can happen in a single event, and we underestimate what can happen in 6 months. Yeah. Breakthroughs are one moment, but they're made of moments. You know, I found out, I read in a book, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read it in a book, so it must be partially true. It said that bamboo can barely be seen for the first 5 years it exists. Bamboo. And that's because underneath the surface of the dirt, it is building an extensive root system underground before it explodes up to 90 feet in the air within 6 weeks. So from your eye, if you got a bamboo plant in your backyard and you see it sprout up, and in 6 weeks later, it's over the top of your house, you may say, man, that wasn't long. I would say, yeah, it was. It was 5 years and 6 weeks, because a lot of times you can't see what's going on below the surface. All I did was plant a seed. All I did was put something in the earth. All I did was start this thing. And if you're not careful, the devil will convince you that what you are trying to do is too small and too insignificant for it to really matter. But the devil is a liar. Can I tell you that today? Because what you may not see is that the Lord is working underneath the surface. And there's going to come a day where everybody's going to turn around and say, what in the world happened? Oh, it didn't happen overnight. It happened from one small thing after another. It was habits that honored God. Amen. And those habits became good. You ever heard the devil's in the details? I think we ought to get God in the details. I think we ought to kick the devil out of the details. I think we ought to say, you've got no place in the happenings of my life. I think that ought to be a daily thing. I think as automatic as it is with the habits in your life, there ought to somehow, you got to build that habit of, I'm going to automatically turn to him. I'm going to automatically trust him. I'm going to automatically take his word for it. I think it'd be better if God got in the details, because he's a God of constant motion. I need to rest. Good Lord, I moved my kids yesterday. We had a meeting. When I laid my head down, I tried to kiss my wife. I think I fell asleep mid-kiss. I'm tired. Nathan, there comes a time where Brad Nave has to stop working, because we have limitations. Here's what's so we do, and because of those limitations, we transcend, we transmit. We post upon God. We overshadow God with the same human limitations that we have. But you need to understand something. God's always working. Amen. He is always working. He's a God of constant motion. He's not just rejoicing in our small steps, not just rejoicing in them. He's working in them. So you hear what I'm saying? All those small things. That's why that song, I was trying to think of the name of the song, and I finally had to look it up. That song, Waymaker. Anybody remember that? Waymaker, miracle worker, all that kind of stuff. You remember that bridge? Everybody loves that bridge. Everybody waits for that bridge. You're like, yeah, yeah, sing the rest of the song. Get to the bridge. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. Come on, somebody. You know you're feeling it. You want to know why? Because that song gives us a hope that while we're doing nothing, hopefully he's doing something. That even though I'm putting zero effort into my spiritual life, he never stops. He never stops working. Even though I won't trust him and believe him, oh, he never stops. And listen to me, God is always waiting for you, but there is something on your end that has to happen. Can you look at it differently? Even when I see no results, he's still working on the smallest of my details. He's still working on the small stuff, and I can trust him right now. I can't see it, but one of these days, that thing's shooting up 90 feet above the surface of the earth, and I'm going to see everything God wanted me to see. I'm not looking for the big breakthrough. I'm looking for the miracle of the moments of my life. In fact, I wouldn't need so many breakthroughs if I worked on the moments. I'll just let that sink in. That makes your habits important and celebrated and worth investing in and fighting for. That means every time I say no when I used to say yes, that's a win. Every time I say yes when I used to say no, oh, the Lord rejoices. Oh, but it's in the middle of a lot of failure. Listen, don't let the devil talk to you like that. I trust, every time I trust when I used to worry, oh, you're building a habit that points you to God and honors him. When I pray instead of saying what I wanted to say, when I give grace when I used to get offended, because my biggest battles and victories are not a moment. They are a series of moments. I'm not living for a breakthrough. I'm living in a breakthrough every single day. You got to realize that. Second thing that's going to help you to understand and help us to understand this is that we must accept when you count the cost is already counted. Now, that's really difficult. I'm going to say it again. You got to accept the fact that when you count the cost is already counted. Say that fast three times. Say, when I count the cost is already counted. How many times do you have to count? If you're counting something, how many times? How many times do you have to count? I mean, if you got five things in front of the other day, I can't remember what it was, and oh, I know what it was. I was trying to count sheets last night for our meeting. And I don't know if I was distracted or what, but I look, okay, five at this table. And 2 seconds later, I'm like, how many was it? But for those of us that don't have problems up here, once you count something, you know what it is, right? It's already been counted. How many? Here's what I mean. Jesus says in Luke 14, for which of you intending to build a counter does not sit down first? Everybody say, sit down first. Sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. How many of you sit down first and count the cost before you make decisions and before you develop habits? Sit down first. Here's what I'm trying to say. What would happen if we just started to pre-decide everything that we could decide ahead of time? Did that blow your mind or did I confuse you? Because what would happen to your habits if you would begin to pre-decide everything that could be decided ahead of time? I'm not going to wait till I get there. There are certain things in my life. I know where they go. I know how they're going to come out. Or I don't know myself, but I heard Ashley talk about it, and I'm not going to go down that road. What would happen if we started deciding everything as soon as we can? To decide before what you're going to do later. Here's what I mean. The Bible makes it clear. It said, Proverbs 16 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. In other words, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Here's what it looks like. With God's help, we will determine our course of action before the moment of decision. I'm going to determine my course of action before the moment of my decision. I know where that leads me, so I'm going to decide ahead of time. I'm not going there. I'm not saying that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be a part of that. Okay. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that Daniel was part, and we don't know how many, of many young men that were taken into captivity into Babylon when Israel fell, when Judah fell. Okay, taken into captivity. And in this captivity, here's what Babylon do. They would strip them of their identity. They would say, you're no longer Daniel. Now your name's going to be Hananiah. And we're going to change your name. We're going to teach you all the ways of Babylon. We are going to strip you of your identity. And when it got down to, they were just planning the meal. They were just planning supper and say, okay, here's what you're going to eat. The Bible says this in Daniel 1 and 8. But Daniel, listen, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. See, here's what Daniel knew. He knew his values. He knew his values, so he pre-decided based on his values. He said, I'm going to honor God with my life. So I've decided that before I put one fork to my mouth, I have purposed in my heart, I am not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Let me ask you something. What do you value? What do you? Do you value God's will? Oh, I value integrity. Do you value faithfulness to God and his house and his people and his kingdom? Do you value purity in your life? Do you value generosity? Listen to me. When your values are clear, it's easier to make decisions. When you don't know what you value, you'll decide whatever's convenient. You'll decide whatever fits the bill at the moment. But when you know your values and you know truth and you know what is important in your life, and when you know and those things are the things of God, that's when you can pre-decide. There are things I'm not going to do, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to be a part of. There's places I'm not going to go. And it's simply based on this. I value the plan and the purpose of God in my life more than anything. So I can decide that right now. It's kind of like what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I wonder what would happen to all of us and our habits if we decide ahead of time everything we could. I can't know everything I'm going to face, but I do know this world I'm going to face. And there's certain things I'm going to make sure that I decide ahead of time. Because the values are clear. And based on what you value, and with God's help, you got to decide now what you'll do later. You got to kind of go through this little exercise that says, okay, when I'm faced with, I'm going to. Now, I could sit here and go through all kinds of examples, but I don't need to because there's plenty in your head right now. You need to ask yourself, okay, what can I pre-decide based on the values, based on those goals that you wrote down somewhere? What can I pre-decide that when I'm faced with this, because I know it's coming, I'm going to this. When I'm faced with tempted to make an impulse purchase, I'm going to wait 3 days and see what the Lord says. When I'm usually faced, as usual, with worry, I'm going to pre-decide to take that burden to the Lord and not sit there and stew about it. I'm going to dismiss it from my mind. When I'm cut off in traffic, folks, I'm telling you, for some of you, it's coming on the way home. I've prayed for the Lord to make it happen. I know it's going to happen, but I'm pre-decided based on values of love and kindness. I'm going to pray not for that person to get in a fiery crash. I'm going to pray for the Lord to bless him in Jesus' name. Somebody say pre-decide. The third thing we've got to understand, and I close with this, is you do what you are. You've got to realize that if God is going to do a new thing in your life, you've got to realize some things about yourself. You know what you're doing? You're doing what you are. Not what you say. That's why you can write all that stuff down at the beginning of the year and never look at it again. Because that's not who you are. That's who you idolize, maybe, but it's not who you are. And there's definitely been no decision you make to become that person. That's just something you admire. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are who you are, and you do who you are. James 3:11 said, you know what? Here's a problem with all of us. Can you have fresh water and bitter water come out of the same source? No. James was saying what's in there is going to come out. Who you are, it's going to come out. And one, if you got both things coming out, there's something that's false. I'll never forget. I can't remember who it was. Jill Melder told this story about an old man that prayed, Lord, forgive me for the chickens that I stole last night. And forgive me for the chickens I'm going to steal tonight. Folks, if you change who you are, you'll change what you do. If you change who you are, you'll change what you do, because your habits emerge out of your identity, and every action. James Allen, I believe in the book Atomic Habits, he says every action is a vote for the type of person that you wish to become. And the most effective way, there's several ways you can change. He says that you can change habits, but he said the most effective way is to change your habits is to focus not on what you want to achieve, but on who you wish to become. I'll give you an instance. Let's just say that Nate's a smoker. Okay, and Nate, but this year you've decided I'm going to quit smoking. It's going to kill me for all the right reasons, right? It's going to kill me and give me cancer. It's you know, it's nasty and all that kind of stuff. You say, I'm going to quit smoking. But then you get home and Jairus, who also is a smoker, she offers you a cigarette. Okay, now you've got two different approaches to that. The first approach is this, honey, I'm trying to quit. Okay, now that's noble, right? That's noble. Does that sound like that's willpower and standing up? Sure, that sounds, it's not a bad approach. But let me give you a better one. Honey, I'm not a smoker anymore. Do you see the difference? One says, I know who I am, and I'm just trying to get out of this. The other one says, I'm not that person anymore, and now my behavior is going to reflect who I have become. You say, that sounds impossible. It probably is by your own means, but let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, who is the changer of people and minds. You want to change your habit? Change your identity. I'm not Brad Nave anymore. I'm going to be a child of God. And those values are going to be reflected in my habits. I'm going to walk like he told me to walk. I'm going to talk like he told me to. Come on, somebody. You got to change who you are. You don't like the way your life's going anyway. Can you start building different habits now? Because you've decided in your mind that what God says you are is really who you are. Can your habits change upon the principles of this truth? That I was never intended to be alienated and far away from God. I was never intended to be without Him. Because that's the truth of the Word of God. It's the whole purpose for Calvary. It's the whole purpose for him wrapping himself in flesh and coming and dying, because it was never his intention that any should be perished, but that all, oh, hallelujah, should have everlasting life. I want you to understand that about you right now. I want you to understand that in God's mind, you may be a disobedient one, but you're a child of God, and he's calling you into correct kingdomship in your life. I can't change who I am. Wrong. That's a sad line that Satan is selling everybody. It's a story that you've heard too long, and you've heard it so long that you don't even know the truth if it slapped you upside the head, because it's been a bad record playing in your mind again and again. I'm never getting out of this. I'm never going to be different, but I'm telling you, there's a time coming, and I hope before the end of this service, where you'll stand with John and say, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. I'm just God's kid trying to become like him and trying to shape my habits according to my identity that I find in Christ. Does this make it any sense? It sounds like too much. It sounds like preacher talk. I know. You know, Paul said something really crazy. When you think about what he said, it's almost insane. It almost sounds like Paul has lost his mind. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul did lose his mind. He lost himself. He said, I'm not the Saul that came upon the face of the planet from my mother's womb. I'm not the person that I used to be. I no longer live by myself, but the life that I live is because that Jesus loved me and I live. He lives through me. I've got good news for somebody today that's stuck in a wilderness and a rut. God can change your identity, and out of your identity can be built the habits that honor him, and every habit that is good is one that honors God. Would you stand with me here today? Our habits become good ones when our habits honor God. You got to take the whole context of our text today. God got to bragging about himself. He was speaking to Israel. Listen to me. You couldn't have been any more beat down than Israel was when Isaiah was prophesying to him. In bondage. Decades and decades of their identity, not just being challenged, being erased. Church, that was a memory. Things of God, not just seldomly practiced, not even mentioned. The exact opposite of everything that anybody, the old timers, had passed down to anybody. But that prophet lifts up his voice and he reminds them, before me, God says, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So don't you forget, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. King James says, and who shall let it? Don't let that fool you. You know what it really means? Who's going to stop me? God said, when I start working, who is it that's big enough to stop me when I start a work in you? I'm the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And it's in that context that God lays out his resume, and then he tells you, Sherwin, he says, don't remember the former things. In other words, forget the past, nor consider the things of old. Because here's the truth. I'm doing something new. Something new in your life, and it is going to spring forth. I want you to think about that bamboo. It's going to spring forth. God's been doing this from the foundation of the earth. I know it's hard to grasp your mind and wrap your head around, but the work that he's trying to do in you right now here today, he started from the foundation of the earth. He's been working on you before you ever came out of your mother's womb. He knows your goings and your comings. Your right and your left. And I want to do a new thing, and it'll spring forth. Can you see it? Shall you know it? Come on, I'm asking you, can you see it? Could you see God changing you? Or are you so stuck in the past that you can't turn it away? Listen to me. I don't care how impossible. I've already said it. I'm going to say it one more time. I don't care how deep that rut is. I don't care what kind of hold that addiction has on you. I don't care how long you've been doing it this way. I don't care how many times you've fallen. I don't care what you did last night. I could care less, and neither could God. What God is telling you right now in this moment, that does not change the fact, none of it does, that I desire to do a new thing. And I don't care how dry it is for you right now, I can make a road in the wilderness. I can cause rivers to flow in the desert. It's springing forth. Can you see it? Is there anybody that can see it? Is there anybody that says, you know what? I came here and I just thought we're just going to go to church just as usual, just another rut. I know where it's supposed to be, but nothing's going to change. change. God has called your bluff, and he's telling you, can you see it? Can you get out of your seat today and see something different happening in your life? Can you see those habits changing? Can you see that day-to-day work that I'm wanting to do? I want to do more than just talk to you in an altar today. I want to set a precedent that every day you wake up, that you and Jesus, you're working on who he's made you to be. Come on, would you come right now? Would you come right now? Anybody, therefore, if any man, anyone is in Christ, new creature, a new person, old things are passed away. Come on, that's it. Bring that habit. Bring that addiction. Bring that rut. Bring that well-worn path that won't go away and let you sleep. Bring back that habit, that failure, that place that you keep going back to time and time and time again. Let me tell you, God's not saying, oh, you again. He's not saying today, oh, you again, you back. No. The inference is much different. He's saying, it's you again. You're back. Come on, get in there. Let's work on this. You're a child of God. Be who God's called you to be. Come on, let's pray all over this house. Let's pray.
Speak victory.
victory in the name of Jesus. There's victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in that name.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. 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 Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. Jesus, victory in the name.
Today. Please be mindful of those still praying. Parents of youth and hyphen, please go downstairs. We'll start our meeting in about 15 minutes to go over this year's events and financial situation, financial aspects. Again, please be mindful of those around. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.